The best way to describe the Gospel of John is to say that the Gospel of John is actually an interpretation of all the Gospel stories that we read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Today's story, however, doesn't occur in any of these. There's only a reference about this family in the Gospel of Luke. It's very important, before we look into this story as a whole, to emphasize the objective of John with this story. Why is he telling us the story? Well, in the words of Jesus himself, Lazarus would die in order for God to show Jesus' real identity, namely that he's God, and because of this, that God can be glorified for doing such great things, because it's only God who can raise the dead. But let's go and look at the whole story. And this is quite a touching tale. Lazarus was Jesus' friend, and he stayed with his two sisters, Martha and Mary, of whom we learn in the Gospel of Luke. They lived in Bethany, a small village on the southeastern slope of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles east of Jerusalem on the road to Jericho. At this moment of time, Jesus found himself in the province of Perea. And in Jesus' day, it was ruled like Galilee by Herod Antipas. Now this ruler, Herod Antipas, he was a man who didn't like any interference in his territories. He didn't even like the interference of the religious leaders. And he considered his territory as his own. So when Jesus was with him in Galilee and Perea, he was actually safe, with no interference from the religious leaders. But now the word came that his friend Lazarus was very ill. And that's why the disciples were so concerned. Are you really wanting to go back to Judea? They knew the dangers. They knew that when he was in their territory, the religious leaders in Judea could do with him whatever pleased them. He was now away 20 miles. It was a day's journey from Bethany when Mary sent word about Lazarus' illness. But although John tells us that Jesus loved them dearly, he waited 2 more days. And later in the story, we would see why Jesus waited. He says to the disciples, without anyone telling him, that actually Lazarus is already dead. There was no mobile phones, no internet. There's no way Jesus could have heard this. No way that he could have known this. But again, the emphasis is, Jesus is God. He knew Lazarus had died. And then they said, but why did we wait so long? If you were there, you could have saved him. But Jesus then says, if I was at his side, you wouldn't have grasped the real greatness of God. You wouldn't have grasped the true miracle that's going to take place. The true miracle that's going to happen in the future. And then they left for Bethany. And then when Jesus and his disciples eventually reached this small village, Lazarus was already 4 days in his tomb. And there were a lot of people supporting the two sisters, because visiting and consoling the bereaved family in those days was considered part of Jewish piety. That was your duty. The neighbors would take care of you. For a whole week, people would sit down with you in your house, praying with you. People would come and visit you. And this practice is still practiced today in Judaism. And it's called the Shiva, meaning for 7 days, there would be people sitting alongside you, helping you through this difficult time of grief. They would also abstain themselves for any adornment for the next 3 weeks, and from common pleasures, even a year after someone has died. Martha approaches Jesus. And then she says to Jesus, why didn't you come? Because if you were there, you wouldn't have died. But I believe that you can still speak to God, and God will give you whatever you ask. And then Jesus says to Martha, your brother will be raised from the dead. And then she understands him, doesn't understand him at all, because she says, I know that. Like all Jews, they believed that at the end of time, all the dead will be raised. But Jesus says to her, no, I mean in the near future. She goes home and she says to Mary, the one whom we read in Luke, who balsamed his feet and who wiped his feet with her hair, she went down to Jesus. All the mourners followed her, because, like I said, that was part of their duty. And then when Jesus saw this crowd coming up to him, grieving, he was deeply moved. The Greek text actually says he was aggravated. He was deeply disturbed within. He was so moved. He was weeping. And he said, let me go with you. And they showed him the grave. And then Jesus says to the people there, remove the stone. And again, the practical Martha immediately says, but Lord, what about the smell? He's already been 4 days in his grave. And Jesus says to them, do not worry. Lazarus, come out. And then Lazarus appears with all the grave clothes still around him. It seems that John overemphasized the fact that he's been dead for 4 days. Why? Because according to popular Jewish belief, the spirit of the dead person did not finally desert the body until 3 days after the death. So actually, John is just telling us, Lazarus was really dead. There's no way that this man could walk out of this grave. But he did. Because Jesus is God. Because Jesus raised him from the dead. And actually, in this whole chapter, it's evident that we can see that Jesus was truly human. Because he grieved. He was really disturbed by the death of Lazarus. But he was also God. Because he knew pretty well what lied ahead of him. This event is actually a sign that foreshadowed his own death. Jesus gave his life not only to Lazarus, but each one of us who believes in him. This is a tragic story if you think of it, that Jesus was God and he knew what they are going to do with him. And in a sense, this reading is a turning point in the history, because from now on, the religious leaders started plotting to kill him. But not only him, but Lazarus too. Amen. The text verse for the sermon is verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. This story is one of compassion and grief. In Africa, it is custom that we would put a face to everything, even abstract things like joy, poverty, grief, or pain. I think to make sense of the things we really can't say in words. And as a young boy, I learned that grief has a face too. Quite a stern looking one that never ever smiles. It's a face that tells you about hardship, suffering, and pain. It's a face that cannot be covered by a mask It's a face that tells a story of missing memories and loss. It's a heavy laden face that lasts forever. It's a face that does not respond to cliches such as time is a great healer or things will be okay. It's a face that everyone carries, from the richest to the poorest. It's a face that even royalty know well. It's also a face that Jesus knew. And it was such a hard face to look into that he started crying too. He felt so much compassion for Mary and Martha. He experienced the grief of a human, but also had the divine wisdom to know that his pain and suffering is close at hand. This story foreshadowed Jesus' own path of sorrow and grief that would soon become his reality. Jesus knew that nothing on earth can take away this face of grief. He knew that he had to endure death itself. Yes, put this face on himself to overpower death for always and ever. He had to make sure that death does not have the last say, like in the case of his friend Lazarus. He gave us a promise of eternal life. And this promise is the only thing that can dent a little this hardship of grief. It's this promise by God through the resurrection of Jesus that human life stretches beyond the earthly realm. It's God who makes it possible through His Holy Spirit for us to have hope. And this is our only hope that can keep us going when we experience grief, pain, suffering, brokenness, and hurt. It's like planting seeds in the winter and waiting for it to come out and bloom in spring. It is only Jesus who can roll away the stone of our tombs and give us new life. It is only through the power of God, His Holy Spirit, that you and I are able to look beyond our own graves, to look beyond our own finiteness. The Gospel of John tells us the story of grief, but also this story is a sign that points to Jesus' crucifixion, suffering, death, and resurrection. It's a sign that showed what was going to happen to Jesus himself in the new future. It's also a sign what will happen to you and me when we die in faith. It's like the signs we find on the road. And this reminded me of something that happened to Nanda and me when we were on a holiday in Namibia. We were traveling on this desolated piece of earth towards Luderitz on the skeleton coast of Namibia, when we saw this, to us, very weird sign that said, "Caution, wild horses." We thought by ourselves, how on earth will there be wild horses on this desolated piece of earth? I mean, how can it be? But to our surprise, a few miles away, we saw wild horses galloping in the distance. And then we came to another weird sign, which said, "Caution, sand on the road." By this time, we were a bit more cautious, and thinking, what on earth could this mean? Well, we soon came across a small sand dune in the middle of the road. And afterwards, we made jokes saying to ourselves, if you see a weird sign in Namibia, you do not laugh. You believe it, it's true, and you act accordingly. And the same is true of the resurrection of Lazarus and Jesus. We must believe it. We must act accordingly with hope. We must look beyond the finality of death. And we must see the new future that God made possible through Jesus Christ. A future where we will be with Him forever and ever. A future where there will be no more pain or grief. The story this morning is actually a big signpost on our journeys of faith, saying, believe. Believe there is life after death. Have hope and continue your journey in faith. It cautions us not to lose heart and never ever to desert our faith. It encourages us to carry on despite the grief, the hardships, the suffering and the pain of living this life. But it also helps us in times of grief to seek God's help, because it's only God who can help us. May we go out this morning and trust God enough to know He knows and understands our grief and suffering. He knows every tear that rolls down our cheeks. He has compassion for you and me, and daily He still rolls away the stones of our own humanly made tombs. He is our only hope. He's the only one who can make our pain and suffering manageable, bearable. May we all enter with Him next week into Jerusalem, knowing that there is a new Jerusalem waiting for each one of us. Each one of us having faith, and that is our ultimate destiny. Amen.